Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Bonus episode time, baby. Haven't had one of these for a while, but we're in a nice groove with episodes, so we thought we'd drop a couple bonus eps. Today's bonus ep is live from the Hollywood Improv in Los Angeles, California. Our beautiful podcast network, The Sideshow Network. Quick shout out to them for being a dope network and housing us and letting us pod from the upstairs of the Improv like we did for this episode during Comedy Juice, one of the most popular shows in the country, every Wednesday at 10 at the Hollywood Improv. All the big names drop in. The lineups are always star-studded. And it's great because then we pull from some of the comics on the lineup to come up and podcast with us like we did for this episode, which features comedian Brett Ernst. You know him from Weeds, Comedy Central. He's getting ready to shoot his new hour special. He's one of the best in the game. A guy that's just amazing to talk to because he's so fucking opinionated and so sharp and so quick. So he popped in for a little bit and was hilarious. And then, of course, three-time About Last Night podcast guest and my good bud Sandy Danto pops in with first-time podcast guest ever, Mark Gordon, our buddy who works in the comedy business. And he came by for his first pod ever. And you can hear it in his voice a little bit. He's a sweet, funny dude. He got behind that mic and it was new. It was new for him, you could tell. But he eased right in. He's a funny dude. A great dude, and the chemistry between all three of us was awesome. There's a lot of 90s references. We talk about the greatest sitcom of all time. We talk about teachers fucking kids. We talk about Trump. We talk about Detroit, where Sandy's from. We talk about old school Pizza Hut commercials. This episode was just a lot of amazing banter between all three of us the whole time. A lot of laughs, a lot of booze, a lot of fun. You guys are going to enjoy this one. It's without Brad. He was in Denver, Colorado, so I had to do this one solo, but still just as much fun. So, of course, follow the podcast on Twitter at ALN Podcast. Follow Brett Ernst on Twitter at Brett Ernst. Follow Sandy Danto at Sandy Danto. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad, and come see me tomorrow night. I got a few more LA shows before I head out of town. Tomorrow night I will be at the Laugh Factory at 9 o'clock. I'll be at the Comedy Store, Belly Room at 8, and I will be at the Open Space Theater at 8:30. All those shows in LA. Check AdamRayTV.com for all the info, and come out and see me for a few more LA shows before I head to New York City, February 12th through the 14th, headlining Gotham Comedy Club for the first time over Valentine's Day weekend. I'm so pumped. It's one of the best clubs in the country, and it's New York City, baby, over Valentine's Day. You know, it's the love is going to be in the air in New York City. What more can you ask for? Come spend it with me, February 12th, 13th, and 14th, Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. Get your tickets at GothamComedyClub.com. Brad Williams is still in Omaha, Nebraska. He'll be there tonight and tomorrow, and then, of course, back in L.A. for Super Bowl Sunday to watch his Broncos. Hopefully send Peyton Manning off into the sunset with a ring. We know what happened last time Peyton was in the Super Bowl. He got his ass kicked by the Seahawks! I'll never forget that. So go see Brad in Omaha, Nebraska tonight and tomorrow at the Funny Bone in Omaha, Nebraska. And bring out your ALN merch. Of course, you can get that at estoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com for all your ALN hats, shirts, your Life My Life shirts, your Ronin the Quave shirts, your ALN shirts, your mugs, your posters. Posters are in the first ever commemorative ALN podcast poster. Pick one up. You can get it signed or not signed. It's got so many of our big guests from over the past couple years, and it's a dope poster. So pick it up, estoymerchandise.com. Bring them to the shows. We'll sign them for you. Hopefully see you guys in New York City next weekend. And again, thanks for listening to the pod. You guys are killing it. Keep giving us those 5-star ratings and comments on the iTunes page. Do it right now before the intro's over. Go to iTunes, type in About Last Night, give a little comment on the iTunes page, and give a little 5-star rating, and that helps us climb the charts. Like I said, we got so many dope episodes coming up. One in a couple weeks that I alluded to on Monday with a guy who's been in comedy for quite some time, and I can't wait to sit down with him and maybe talk to him like that. Who the fuck knows? It's gonna be a blast. So subscribe to the show on iTunes so you can get new episodes every Monday and bonuses on Thursday. Now that we got all the Twitter handles out of the way, those are the tour dates. That's the merch info. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a bonus episode of the About Last Night podcast with Sandy Danto, Mark Gordon, Brett Ernst, and me, Adam Ray.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why? a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Well, here we are. No Brad, because he was kidnapped. I hate to start this pod on such a downer of a note, but I don't know where Brad is. And I'm not joking. So those of you listening who are like, hey man, when are you going to like laugh? When are you going to say, oh, just get psych, man, or not? You know, what's your go-to to let us know that this is some sort of a hoax? It's not. Brad Williams has been kidnapped. And I got a voicemail telling me so. And I'm going to play it. And I know it's not going to bring him back, but maybe it'll just give you guys some sort of a, I don't know, just an idea of what kind of monsters are out there who would steal a midget and not even leave anything in return, man. Like, you got, do you know what you just got? Anyway, this is the voicemail I got.
Hey, Johnny Depp and Shirley. I want to say hi, and someone here asked about you. It was visiting a Melissa Gallant from California.
I'm sorry, that was my 90-year-old Aunt Shirley. She lives in Dallas at an old folks home. This is the message I got.
Need a new message to Aunt Shirley. You're like your mother. You never answer the phone.
God damn it. Fuck you. Fuck you, bitch. All right. I'm sorry. I don't have my wits about me, okay? I'm scrolling through my phone as fast as I can, and here is the voicemail of an undisclosed number telling me that that they took my Brad.
Hi, Adam. Aunt Shirley again. Okay, I'm not calling more. Because you're busy and we'll never catch each other. Anyone,
okay.
Sorry.
God damn it, Shirley, you fucking, God fucking, all right. All right, Shirley, that's my Aunt Shirley. Brad has not been kidnapped, but he is in Denver. And because of that, welcome to the podcast, Brad Ernst, everybody.
What's up,
Brad,
buddy?
Brad Ernst. Dude, thanks for coming up, man.
I just got your text.
You got some time?
Yeah, of course.
Hell yeah.
There's like 400 people before me. Dane's on now.
Okay.
And there's Alonzo. And,
okay. You got some time. Are you closing it out?
Yeah. They got me closing it tonight.
I'm beast. I might go down and watch you.
Really?
Yeah. You're one of the best.
No, thanks, man. So how you been,
how
buddy?
How are you, man? Good to see you.
Yeah, you too, man. Congratulations on everything, man.
I mean, thanks.
Yeah, you're blowing up. I see you on the New Kids Cruise. And
you know what I love about you? That constitutes like, things, Ira, if the New Kids selected you.
Well, listen, man, I want to talk to you afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I can tell stories. Ask away. Dude. I won't tell you everything because,
yeah,
you know,
well,
what happens on a New Kids Cruise stays
on a New Kids Cruise.
That's the oath.
First of all, Please Don't Go Girl by Joey McIntyre is one of the greatest slow jams of all time.
I fucking love that you said that because that's my in to the group, right? He's my boy, Joey Mac, which,
love
by the way,
song.
If you want me to have him sing it to you over a voicemail, I could probably make that happen for the right price.
Wait, have him come to my, I'm taping my special February 6th.
Where?
Colony Theater in Burbank. If anybody listening wants to go to Los Angeles, Brett with one T at G, I'm sorry, Brett Ernst Comedy at Gmail.
Holy shit.
Brett with one T, E-R-N-S-T, comedy at Gmail. It's the night before the Super Bowl. Should be a good time.
Oh my God, dude, I'll bring him for sure. He's
Please.
A huge comedy fan. And
I would love for him to sing Please Don't Go Girl.
To close out your special.
Oh God, I would fucking,
nobody's
cry.
Had it yet.
I would fucking cry.
You know he's sang at my sister's wedding?
Shut up.
Yeah, dude. She got married in November and, you know, we just became boys. And I go, Joe, man, my sis grew up on you. You know, she's got four kids, and doesn't get out much. Loves you. I go, you want to fucking, if I pay your way, you and your wife come up, put you up in a nice place, come for a day and a night, we'll kick it in Seattle, sing at the wedding, sing like the first dance song, and then you and I will sing a duet.
Oh, that must have been fun.
And
see, why do you got to ruin it?
But you know, well, yeah, maybe he'll do your special. You know, he's doing. If he's not doing my fucking friend's bar mitzvah.
Just for the record, even as a kid, when everybody was, even the girls, the thing I liked about the new kids,
yeah,
and people can laugh, but most of them were street guys.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, they weren't
totally.
Like, they weren't pussies. They were street guys.
NSYNC and Backstreet, I think, like came from like what? Orlando.
Well, the whole idea behind the boy band has been around since the '50s.
Let's get into it. Was the first one?
Well, I don't know, man.
The Four Tops.
There's been a few. I mean, there's been a few.
Yeah.
You can go the Osmonds, maybe.
Wow.
The Jackson Five.
How? Okay. Well, that's what it is.
But yeah. That's talent. I mean, but again, like a lot of these guys, especially when they're kids, they get thrown together, get a lot of money.
Yep.
And you know, of course, guys start hating on them. Where was Justin Timberlake in? Which one was
NSYNC.
That? NSYNC. Dude, come on, man. How do you deny that kid?
You can't, dude.
That kid's talented.
When people try to make comparisons to Michael Jackson with him, I go, well, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard since somebody said Cool Runnings is a terrible movie.
What? You like Cool Runnings?
Okay. It's nice having you, Brett.
No, did you really like that movie?
Dude, come on. It didn't tug at your heartstrings?
By the way, I don't mean to be rude. I got to text somebody and just let them know I'm up here.
Do your thing. I got all plenty right. of Cool Running stories.
Yeah, let me hear this.
When I was 10 and I first saw it, first of all, a very underrated film with the legendary John Candy. All right?
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah, man, everybody
does. He was
the
coach, right?
That's why you laughed when I said great movie. He was the coach.
I didn't laugh. I just was
you
saying.
You scoffed. It was a scoff.
All right, so if you're doing top, because by the way, my podcast is called You're On The List, which if you want to come on.
Any day of the week.
You want to come on tomorrow?
What time?
11 a.m.
Can't do that.
Okay, never mind then. We'll get you in 2 weeks.
But you and Pete?
Yeah, me and Pete Giovanni.
And what is the theme?
It's just you
top
list
everything.
Things. Top everything. So if you're doing... Top five movies of all time.
Top with John Candy or Disney movies? Let's get specific.
No,
top five.
I'm saying greatest movies of all time. Because you throw Cool Runnings out like everybody's supposed to go, oh yeah, that's a classic. I mean, I get that you liked it, but it's not.
John Candy, if you have a team of cross-country runners who've never been in a bobsled before, never been to the Olympics, never represented a country in anything of that amount of magnitude.
Right.
Who would you want to coach you?
Tom Landry.
All right. If you had a second option.
A real coach or a fictitious coach?
a fictitious.
Then I go Mickey from Rocky. I would love to have Mickey going, get up, grab that bobsled, you son of a bitch, because Mickey loves you.
I love how you're about to maybe say some sort of like racial slur, but you
No,
like,
not at all.
Yeah,
not
okay,
all.
Okay.
Not at all. Come on. Wait, I'm going to make fun of my own people? Not that I'm Jamaican, but you know.
You love Rocky.
Oh yeah, it's the greatest movie of all time.
Is it?
Number one.
So what you've probably listed on the podcast. Yeah. Give me the
top
name.
Top five all Italian American movies, and then we go from six down.
Jesus.
Well, first of all, you can't argue The Godfather.
Can I be honest? I haven't seen it.
What?
Yeah. I've admitted.
You saw Cool Runnings, but you've never seen The Godfather?
I've seen Shanghai Nights twice in the theater.
And you've never seen The Godfather. Do yourself a favor. HBO does this is 7 hours long. Okay, but what they did is they took all the deleted scenes from The Godfather,
okay,
and they the scenes from like Godfather 2 are in the beginning of this, and they put it in chronological order. It's the only movies to both the first and the second one won an Academy Award, and it's in AFI's top films. Godfather's arguably number one, but they put the Orson Welles film at number one and Godfather number two. Cinematically, it's beautiful. You've seen it, right? Yeah, of course.
Wow. Yeah, no, trust me. This is not something that this isn't new information to me, knowing that there is a problem with me not seeing it.
Well,
my dad is very upset about it.
A part of me envies you because you haven't seen it yet.
Totally.
And you're going to see it for the first time.
I feel like that way about you with revisiting Cool Runnings.
No, I've seen Cool Runnings.
Yeah, but I feel like revisit it. You saw it in 1994 when it came out.
All right, let's move on.
I want to know.
Let's move on.
I want to know, though. Tell me, though, what am I... Well, don't give anything away, but like, what about The Godfather?
Don't give it away. That's like saying the boat sinks in Titanic. If I'm giving it away.
Wait, hold up. What?
What happened?
What? I have seen that. Well, everybody has. Every dude trying to have sex with a chick has
seen
that.
Okay, every dude that's a man that chews tobacco, drinks scotch.
Yeah.
You know, gets in bar fights.
Yeah.
Any man has seen The Godfather. That's
you're going to say Titanic.
No, not Titanic.
Wait, no. What is the best? Who's the best character? Don't tell me the best.
Shit, dude.
Is it
Marlon Brando's unbelievable?
I know that he's
Al Pacino's unbelievable. Jimmy Caan's unbelievable.
Jimmy Caan's in it.
Frankie Five Angels. Says yeah, sure, why not?
So it's a mob mafia movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hence, yeah, yeah, man. I don't know if you're jerking me off or if you're fucking serious.
Brad, I'm 1,000% serious.
Okay,
right now.
It's a movie about a mafia family.
Yeah.
And in the 40s and 50s. And the way that the commission, you know, talks about the commission, pretty much how organized crime ran America. And in some areas, maybe or maybe does not still run it.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing movie. From the acting to, I mean, De Niro's in it.
De Niro was great in Dick Tracy. Don't look at me like that. Where would you put The Godfather with movies like A Bronx Tale, which I've seen?
Number one.
And
it's over everything except Rocky. Now, Rocky to me.
American Gangster? Similar vibes?
Similar vibes.
Because I love that
movie. Well, because they're Jewish people. That's why.
You got it. Shabbat right. Shalom, by the way.
All right, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, it's the greatest. It's considered one of the greatest movies. All
right.
Of all
so
time.
That's number
AFI's
one.
AFI's top films. I mean, look. Godfather's in AFI's top films.
Okay.
Rocky's in AFI's top films. You ever seen Raging Bull?
No.
Oof.
But I have seen The Muppets Take Manhattan.
So now, have I wanna... when I was fucking 8.
All right. Well, let's revisit it again. I'm going to make
it's a good movie.
It's a great movie, dude.
Actually, the Muppet movie, I take over Muppets.
Come on, dude. They rode bicycles. That was a fucking, what? Muppets rode bicycles.
I'm saying.
In the Muppet movie.
In the first one was great. Rainbow Connections from there. Yep. Moving right along. Moving fancy free.
Wow.
Get in there is easy, so come take a ride with me.
Nice,
moving
dude.
Moving right along.
For sure, those aren't the words, but at least you got the melody.
That's pretty much the words, dude. You want to check it? Pull it up.
By the way, if we could redub the Muppet movie with Brett singing all the songs, I'd pay at least $60 to watch that live.
And Rainbow Connection, that's such a... That song makes me cry, man.
It's unbelievable.
Did you ever see Jim Henson's funeral on
YouTube?
Dude,
don't even get me started on Jim Henson. You know, that's... I want to be a Muppeteer for the longest time, dude. Jim Henson is a fucking god to me.
Did you ever see his funeral?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, with...
Big Bird
when
sings.
Big Bird came out, holy shit, dude.
Yo, top 5 funerals of all time.
Well, you got to go number one. No. Number one is obviously Kennedy.
Top 5 funerals,
Kennedy,
Big Bird sang it, huh?
That we know.
Okay.
Kennedy's number one.
Will Grover sang it, that one.
Definitely Jim Henson. I'll tell you another one that was huge was Mr. Rogers' funeral.
Mr. Rogers' funeral was on YouTube?
Yeah, but you could see how many people
Shut
he touched.
Shut the fuck up, Dax. Can you pull that
Dude,
up?
Dude, there was people from like four or five generations
I've never said that sentence.
went. Mr. Rogers, first of all, was a war hero.
Yeah. People sleep on that fact.
Yeah, he never left Pittsburgh. That's where they shot the show. Great man. Like a fucking strong humanitarian.
He's almost like, and wasn't he a priest?
I don't know.
I feel like he had a very strong religious affiliation, but never tied to like touching kids. He's almost like the Ken Griffey Jr. of fucking children's
programming.
Just
for the record,
you know,
just
never
for the
tied
record, as
steroids,
a Roman Catholic.
Mr. Rogers never put his
Roman,
hand on a prepubescent
okay,
dick
as,
and ball
as a,
sack.
As a Roman Catholic... All right, I'm not going to take offense to that because it happened. But the only problem with the Catholic Church is it's easy to pinpoint. Like you ever watch How to Catch a Predator?
Yeah,
they caught rabbis on that.
What?
Yeah, right or wrong? Did you ever see it?
I did.
Yeah, they caught rabbis on that. There was a rabbi in South Florida that was molesting kids. You got to understand something, child molesters. Their goal is to get near children. So however they do it, there's more sexual assaults from school teachers than there are. Priest, but again, it's an easy joke, and I give it to you. That's great.
No. But hey, for real, wait, from school teachers?
Yeah, school teachers have the highest.
Now, obviously, I would love to know the stats on this. Like, how many
Google
teachers?
Them right now. You got somebody here. Fact check it.
Yeah, he graduated from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary.
That's Dax on the Fred Rogers stats.
Yeah. listen, I'm not defending priest child molesters.
No.
I hope they fucking burn in hell.
Of course. Well, I want to know. You said,
but I'm saying
you
the
said
stats,
there's more school teachers.
Yeah, school teachers
getting sexual abuse because the number of teachers who have fucked kids has risen in the last.
Especially
10 years.
The well, I had a buddy of mine in high school that used to clip our teacher. What was that?
Oh, God bless you.
Oh,
thanks, Abe.
I thought I wasn't even on.
No, we're gonna start right now.
No, but again, you know what the biggest atrocity.
Wait, you had a buddy that got down with his teacher?
He used to call me and then leave the phone off the hook, and then I used to have to listen to him clip.
No way.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Of course, it's awesome. Don't stop there. Wait a minute. So first of all, tell me how he even got to the position of.
Well, we were in high school, and she came up to him, and it's a great story, man. You want to hear it?
The whole thing.
So we were only 16, and I took this speech class, and I can't say her name, I can't say his
for
name.
For sure. What was the speech class?
It was just a speech class, you know, where you it was like debate class
debate,
and
yeah,
stuff
for
like
sure.
that.
Do you remember what you debated?
Yeah. I was actually in the NFL, National Forensics League.
What?
Yeah. I was second in the county. I did domestic extemp and Lincoln Douglas.
Why does that not surprise me? Because for those of you who don't truly know Brett Ernst as a person and comic, first of all, one of the best people on human earth, sweetest, generous, kind.
Well, thank you.
And an amazing comic.
Thank you.
But you, in the ring, socially, conversationally, dude, I would challenge anybody with...
Well, here's the thing, man. I don't have a narrative. I don't have a political agenda. I don't have a political party. And my belief is that your religion, your feelings, your race, whatever the fuck it is, should never interfere with truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just how I feel.
And you have enough facts to always bring to the table and make somebody feel inferior about what they're...
Not even inferior. It's not that. It's just that, you know, there's a lot of hearsay, groupthink, or they call it herd theory in this country. Like, for instance, God isn't in the Constitution, but neither is separation of church and state. All right. And people will just, it's called herd theory. People hear things over and over again and they, you know, they just regurgitate it like it's true without even checking anything. And, but it's also, you know, not that I'm a toxic person because I'm okay with being wrong. I have no problems with it. But, you know, a lot of times people just spew
nobody
off.
Fact checks.
Nobody does.
Well, also in this day and age.
And please fact check the priest thing in the school. But by the way, it's not even a per capita thing. And here's where the Catholic Church is fucked up. They try to cover it up. That's a whole other different argument. Okay. But as far as numbers of sexual assaults on kids, and I don't even know if it's per capita.
But it's more in school,
school teachers.
Public schools public or school private teachers. Schools?
Public. Well, just, I don't know. I wouldn't know that one. You have to look that up. But
all right. Well, let's come back to
you have Cub Scout leaders, rabbis.
I was in the Cub Scouts. Never got hit on, but I was also a fat kid, so that's on me.
Well, there might have been a chubby chaser out there that...
There might have been. Wasn't in our pack.
But no, I'm not a narrative guy. I don't really care. I have no political affiliation at all.
Yeah.
You know.
What is your most exciting thing? And by the way, listeners, we are coming back to that story of Brett's buddy fucking his teacher, because that's going to be a good one. But I want to know, what is the thing that gets you most heated to debate?
I would have to say when people spew anti-Americanism.
You're very patriotic.
It's not even that. It's just not factual.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, it's too long. Let's not talk about it.
It's
boring.
For sure.
I don't like, I mean, look, every culture's hands are dirty. Every country's hands are dirty. But what America did, it changed the world. I mean, we're actually on an American medium right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The things America gave the world is ridiculous.
Yeah. The super soaker, the silly putty,
whatever,
the titty twister,
the fucking, all of it. And then some.
And then, how many titty twisters did, all right. So your buddy, cause here's my thing, man, Mary, I grew up in Seattle, Washington, right? 20 minutes north, Lake Forest Park, Washington. The first publicized, case of teacher fucking kid was Mary Kay Letourneau.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember that.
Yeah. It was like Luis Valenzuela or whatever. The kid was 12. She was like 36. And I'm like, how does that even go down? Who makes the first move? Was he like, hey, Ms. Letourneau, can you check my spelling
and then
suck
my dick? Situation,
like, what was...
I'll tell you this situation.
Because there's got to be flirting. Who initiates? Like,
she initiated. But this kid's got balls the size of this room. All right? So we're all in the library. And, you know, she was a young teacher, cute teacher. And she came up to him. And she was our debate coach.
Okay.
And he... you know, he was talking to her and she said something about she saw him in a dream or something like that. And by the way, if you ever come up to me, I deny everything. I don't remember how it happened, but she gave him a ride home. But then he ended up seeing her for a while. And then he ended up with her best friend, who was a lawyer. And then he ended up, I think, marrying her best friend.
No.
And then he divorced her best friend and then married another chick. But this kid, you know, he had balls, man. She initiated, though. She was hinting to it.
By saying
now,
something?
Here's the great part. Here's the best part of the story. So I was always in trouble as a kid, you know, in high school. And we had over 2,000.
You have amazing stories about it. How many stories in your next hour special are about you getting in trouble as a kid?
Well, the name of the special is The Principal's Office, so.
Oh, my God, dude.
So I was always acting up, and she went to my football coach one time, and, you know, she ratted me out, told me to, what's up, guys? What's up, man? So she told me,
Sandy, take a seat.
She told me to behave, and you know, like he came and tried to straighten me out.
Yeah.
Now I was really bad. Like I taped the answers to the test on her back. Right. So she would go around the class and she had the answers on her back. So, you know, I made her cry one time.
Yeah.
So my buddy was, you know, he was going with her and, I knew about it. There was rumors around the school about it. So I approached her one day And I said, listen, if you want all this to go away, I can make that happen. But you keep your mouth shut to my coach, and me, my friend, and my other friend get A's across the board.
Holy shit.
And she said, okay, fine. First she denied it, and I says, look, come on, what are you doing?
You know, what grade is this?
This is my junior year. I says, I go, this is what I told
swindling
her.
Swindling his high school teachers.
I didn't swindle her. I just called her on her shit. And I said, look, there's two people in the room. We both know who farted. You understand? So yeah. You can sit here and say what you want. I can make this go away. And fact of the matter is we got all A's and I didn't make it go away. It got out of control. Holy but, you know, it was a ballsy move, man.
Where do you get the...
I pulled the same shit on my rabbi in Hebrew school.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Were you
nah,
a rim?
No. Nah. I was horrible. I was horrible.
It's the voice of Sandy Danto. I feel like you were a bit... Well, you were doing drugs in Hebrew school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did your rabbi ever touch you?
My rabbi actually, he
we were talking about
did,
teachers.
But not sexually. I was being really... I volunteered.
I don't mean like smacked you or nothing like that. I meant, no. Did he like... Was he ever inappropriate?
No.
Did he
no,
circumcise
no.
you after you were circumcised?
He gave me my foreskin back. I was that bad.
He said, you're done. Yeah. You're excommunicated.
He's like, put this back on. Never show up.
Let me
at
ask
the
you this question. Are you guys
again.
Sephardic or Ashkenaz?
I'm half and half.
Half and half?
I'm Oshkosh Bagosh. Yeah. I'm very reformed.
No, is your ancestry... Okay, Sephardic is your ancestry is from like...
Latvia.
Mediterranean descent? Or like...
Latvia? Like, what are you, Dr. Doom?
Kristaps Porzingis.
Can we Google Dr. Doom?
And then Ashkenazi is
yeah,
like
yeah.
Eastern European,
that's
Russian.
What it is. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Russian Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
Brett knows more about the Jewish faith than
you. Well, I mean, you're Sephardic Jews, Greeks, and Arabs are I'm mostly Sicilian, but those are we're all the same
yeah, yeah.
same bloodline.
People compare Italians and Jews a lot.
Very similar.
Why is that?
Just
neuroses, guilt.
Yeah.
Circumcised.
Well, here's the
are
difference.
If circumcised? You go over,
if you, huh?
Are you circumcised?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Is that
prove
a,
it?
Yeah. Relax, Sandy. Take it easy.
Welcome back to Show Us Your Foreskin.
especially in the Northeast, a lot of Jews and Italians they grew up together, and there's a lot of similarities. Like I can't remember the name of the book, but it talked about. It may have been David Mamet who talked about it, but there's never been two ethnic groups in America that complemented each other more, which is why, you know, organized crime lasted for so long. Because you had, you know, Meyer Lansky, you had Bugsy Siegel, you had, you know, there was
Bugsy Siegel, for sure a Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many, so Jews were very prominent.
Jewish gangster.
Was he really?
Well, then you had the Purple Gang in Detroit that used to run the alcohol. But there was a symbiotic relationship with him. And here's the difference, which Jews always respected education. Italian culture was very machismo, very brawn. But everything else was similar.
Yeah.
You know, and they just, not saying Italians, there's some fucking brilliant Italian businessmen out there.
Oh, Chef Boyardee, for one. That guy fucking
Bank
created
of America,
beefaroni
Bank of America,
and spaghetti with meatballs.
Bank of America was an Italian
for sure
that started that. Bed Bath & Beyond, I believe.
By an Italian guy?
Yeah.
Shit.
Papa John.
Papa John.
All right. So
dude, that guy.
Sorry,
can
stop,
I be honest?
Sorry.
I hate that
go
guy.
Ahead.
I have. I did finally find the study that you talked about.
Here we go.
There was a Department of Education study in 2004 that did conclude that basically came up with the numbers that abuse in schools is about 100 times worse than in church.
Sexual abuse.
Sexual
and that's
abuse.
Not even counting the past 8 years.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that's. And the Catholic Church itself is no worse than any other church,
Jesus.
Statistically. But it's about 100 times worse.
Well, here's the thing, too. Like,
schools.
Like if you look up the, when you were watching that, the To Catch a Predator, it was I think they caught one or two rabbis. But there's not like one rabbi land,
right.
And one rabbi head rabbi.
Right.
So since Catholicism is so organized,
there's
it has its own country. It's
right,
easy to
right.
It's
in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
there's a sect of ultra Orthodox. That it's just like the child molestation and
abuse is
like rampant, and it's like an Illuminati type thing where it's like they all protect all the people that do it, and if you speak out about it, you're ostracized from the society.
Well, and also too, like you know, I think religion in general.
Why do I know about this?
No, I'm saying I think religion.
Hey man, we've
religion
all
in general gets
late
a bad
night
rap,
Googled, all
you
right?
know, like because people don't understand that there is no. between religion and science, there's no conflict.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're dealing with the Westboro Baptist Church, and yeah, you got a problem.
Yeah.
But people don't know that the Big Bang Theory came out of the Vatican. You know, the father of genealogy was a monk. I think the Pope now is a chemist, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure.
You know, there, Notre Dame has one of the best medical departments. I
For
think
sure.
at 75, you guys Google this too, but over 70% of all Nobel Prize winners in science and mathematics are of a religious.
Are you practicing Catholic?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I go to church. I mean, I believe in God, but you know, I'm also, you
For
know,
sure.
don't ask me.
For sure.
Right. Hey, I'm a hypocrite. Well, I'm married now.
I'm not like trying to, I'm just
no,
curious
no, I'm,
because
I'm divulging it. I'm not saying I'm better than any, again, they're just stats. They're just facts.
We're just at a point in society where like, we're every one in the like 20 to 50 age group is like second, third, fourth generation from wherever they came from. This is obviously a generalization, but it just seems like we're past the point of being connected to wherever we came from, that we all choose whether or not we want to be affiliated with whatever religion our parents brought us up with. And
well, I mean, it is a cultural thing,
yeah.
You know, but the difference between Christianity and say Judaism and say Islam is that especially with Jews, your religion is your culture.
Right.
Like a buddy of mine's an atheist, but he's still Jewish. Right. He still has Passover. You know, there's so many traditions that come along with it.
Still complains, goes to
the deli. Still complains, makes most generous guy I know too. But it's just, I don't know, man. It's just, I think there's so much division in the country right now. And again, it's narratives. You know, if there's people, we could solve problems if everybody just addressed the problem.
For sure.
If you vote for Trump, you're a maniac. And if you vote for Hitlery.
Wow. You're just that was a slip up, but
you're
maybe
just
it
as
wasn't.
Nuts. You're just as crazy, man. I like Bernie. He's a good dude.
He is a good dude.
The best candidate for the Republicans, in my opinion, I think the best candidate overall is John Kasich out of Ohio, but he'll never get the nomination.
For sure. I would love to talk hypothetically, but also realistically, about some potential candidates who haven't put themselves out there and are definitely not on the ballot. I'm going to list a couple names. You guys give me the pros and cons real quick of each person. Mario Lopez.
Pro. He's Latino. He's got the secret of youth. The guy's like 48. He looks amazing.
Housewife in America would vote for him.
You think the house husbands wouldn't?
I think that unless if they want to get laid, they will.
Unless they're fans of Cool Runnings and New Kids.
Danny Bonham.
I'm not voting for Mario Lopez. I was a City Guys guy.
So funny. City Guys. Quick shout out to the cast of City Guys.
How long are you on for?
C-I-T-Y.
Huh? How long are you on for?
Here?
Yeah.
We're going to go until you need to go.
I'm on in 5 minutes. I got to go.
Bounce.
All right, but I'm going to come back.
You're going to come back when Brady comes back.
I'll be back.
And the special is going to film February 5th.
When Brady
February
comes 6th,
back.
February
6th.
First time original series.
Thanks, Brett Ernst.
No, I'll be back.
All right. Spencer Mark, hop on the mic. No?
Yeah, come on.
You guys.
Yeah.
Everybody address the bullshit I just spewed.
It's always great talking to you, Brett.
Yeah, Brett Ernst is
you're
the man.
Like, you
Ed
know
Brett
what?
Ernst on Twitter.
You're really informed, and you have a strong opinion. But like, it's interesting to talk to you about like sports, religion, all kinds of stuff. It's great politics. Thanks, love talking to you, man.
That jacket looks smooth too.
I'll be back.
Yeah, have fun. Welcome, Mark.
Oh, thanks,
Mark Gordon.
Yeah,
Mark.
The movie Blank Check?
We can get into that real quick. Let's talk about some of the flaws of the movie Blank Check, okay? And make sure to hug that mic when you get on there.
You sure you're not in on this?
When was the first time you saw the movie Blank Check?
Oh, shoot.
Dax, can you pull up that lead actor's name for me? Because I'm drawing a blank.
He was he was the little kid in Family Ties.
Well, no, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
Can you pull up the Family Ties theme song first?
Brian Bonsall.
Brian Bonsall. Now, Dax, can you pull up the Family Ties theme song for me? And whoever can sing the whole thing, word for word.
Well, I guess we've been together.
Saying you're disqualified for starting early and singing a cappella, I ask you to sing along with the actual soundtrack.
Oh, sorry. I'm disqualified now.
Mark, favorite sitcom from the 80s?
Favorite sitcom from the 80s.
I wanted to say facts of life, but it's not.
Yeah. Are you a gay woman who's 60?
No, I liked Growing Pains, but does that count? Growing Pains isn't an 80s sitcom.
I think it came out in 88, and I would love to know the exact date on that just so I can sleep tonight.
You but still want that theme song?
For sure.
Yeah, okay.
I don't have to plug in right here. So all right, Sandy Mark, whenever you feel comfortable, but I also... And you can sing along with the instrumental. Here it is.
Just been together for a million years.
I'll take this part.
Will I get me been together for a million more?
Sandy? Mark?
And then we kissed and everyone was all okay.
Everybody.
What would you do, baby, without love?
Wait.
What would you do, baby, without love? And there ain't nobody gives me.
I can't remember all.
Boy, she hit that. Baby. Here, bring it home.
Sha-la-la-la.
And then Michael J. Fox comes in and goes,
hey, Doc. You're telling me we're going to go in a time machine?
And they're like, Michael, you're doing your lines from Back to the Future. Yeah, boy.
Oh, Growing Pains started in 85.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Wow. Well, I'm going to raise my hand right here and say I was wrong when I thought that was a 90s sitcom.
What I didn't see coming from Growing Pains, first of all, I would love if you were to put, if you were to peg... The Growing Pains did a reunion show, right? I don't know how many people watched, and frankly, I don't give a shit. But the amount of people who that would have, if you would have put on a Vegas table, what are the odds of Leonardo DiCaprio, the kid who, what was his character's name? I don't want to make you pull your phone out again, Sandy, but I really want to know this.
I want to say it was Luke.
Mark?
I'm going to go with Sam.
Okay. If one of you guys are right, I'm buying you Subway sandwiches next week. Wow. And I said plural, but I meant one.
Fair enough.
Dex?
He's looking that up. Do you want to sing the Growing Pains theme song?
Obviously, I know every word verbatim.
Oh, show me that smile.
Show me the smile that made on you crying. We know when you. The best is ready to begin. As long as we got each other.
Sandy was right, it was Luke.
I'm buying you sandwiches coming away, baby, rain or shine, all the time. We got each other, sharing the laughter.
Oh, whoa.
Dude, the fucking extended version they played on Friday nights.
Wow. You know, caught me off guard, brings me back to childhood. That's amazing.
Here it is.
All the time. We got each other, sharing the laughter and sharing the laughter and sharing the laughter and sharing the laughter and love.
Nice, dude.
That version was from
season 3.
Sharing
the laughter and dove.
It's Luke.
Yeah, that's the name of Leo's character.
All right, Sandy, I'll give you a sandwich next week. I didn't specify from what location. I might just show up at your place with a sandwich and a dirty bag. Now, I want to know, though, back to business here. Okay. If you were to put on Vegas and people go, all right, what are the odds? Leonardo DiCaprio is going to grow up to be a big star. People go, who? Luke. Oh, I got it. Or Kirk Cameron. You mean Mike Seaver? Sure, the lead of the series is going to be a crazy, Christian, anti-gay freak show.
I think I would have said you're a crazy person. I would have bet on Mike Seaver. I would put all my money
for real
on that. Yeah, 100%.
Because nobody's going to look at a guest
against
star.
Against a random guest star with great hair?
I would have thought that Buddy was going to be the big star, but he also was an anti-gay.
Can I do my Buddy from Charles in Charge impression? Ready? Hey, Charles! There it is.
That's pretty good. Oh, wait, I'm getting my sitcoms mixed up. Buddy was from Charles in Charge. I'm thinking of Boner.
Wow.
Boner was an actual character.
You know that guy died like 6 years ago. He was found in a ditch.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back with more about last night.
Really heartwarming story, actually. He was trying to save a bunch of orphans from a burning orphanage.
You know what? There's no transition for boner in a ditch. But what I do want to say is, Mark, this is your first time on the podcast.
Yeah.
First time on a podcast?
On any podcast.
Mark, where are you from?
I'm from L.A. I'm from right here.
Somebody who's grown up in L.A., Sandy's from Detroit, I'm from Seattle. What would you tell, if Sandy and I were to have moved to L.A. tonight, what would you say to us? Not about the business.
I'm moving to Hollywood tonight. I mean, I live in Culver City, but I'm okay. Moving to Hollywood.
I just need some help packing the truck up.
Yeah.
But what would you say to us if we just got here? And you're somebody who's a native, right? What would you, like, not even business-wise, because we're all in the business here, but, like, I'm talking about lay of the land. Like, here's where to eat. Here's what freeways to avoid. Here's what L.A. is going to throw at you, and here's what you need to be ready for.
And can you do it in a 1920s?
Can you do it as Luke from Growing Pains Season 2? No. You can do it as you.
Do it as me. What I'd tell you guys is, like, what I want to say is that, be careful on who you listen to for what to do. Like, be careful on who you ask for, like, a restaurant recommendation. Because you're in, like...
If you see a homeless guy on Sunset and Fountain chewing on his shoe, he's not going to probably have eaten at Spago's.
No, he's probably not. But
unless they're serving bum shoe, which I don't, and he just brought home leftovers.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of...
Tonight's specials are the filet mignon with steamed asparagus and bum shoe.
I'm sorry, did you say gumshoe?
No, bum shoe.
No, the gumshoe is at the Rescue Rangers restaurant. All right, so don't listen to...
The Rescue Rangers restaurant right next to the Rainforest Cafe.
By the way, if you can say Rescue Rangers restaurant 10 times fast, we give you a free tailspin flag.
And another tailspin. Whoop.
Wow, nice. Drink 5 if you're playing the tailspin sing-along song drinking game. All right, Mark. So don't listen to restaurant recommendations.
I'd say if anybody prefaces something by... The phrase, oh my God, you're from out of town, you have to, and then insert whatever.
Oh,
I'm
great.
Always so unimpressed with what people say in
what
front
usually
of me
follows.
That.
And Sandy and I can come, we can probably attest to our own examples, what we've heard, but what.
Here's a great one. Oh my God, you have to hike Runyon Canyon. That is the classic. You're from out of town. I would take someone to Runyon Canyon that I was like forced to show a good time to. I would say, well, this is something people do. You can say you did it. I find it to be the most, it's literally like traffic on the 405, but on a canyon, like you're just around a lot of people.
But I think with a lot more sweat and a lot more dog poop.
But let's be
and little bit more cleavage.
A lot more cleavage. I think that a lot of people, the amount of beautiful women that hike Runyon Canyon is prominent. And I also think that it is a touristy thing that is also an outdoor activity. And I think in LA, there's so much outdoor activities are hard to come by unless you're walking up and down Hollywood Boulevard. You're not really breaking a sweat unless it's 90 degrees and you're getting chased by a Spider-Man with peanut butter on his belt. But. But what you have to do is go up. You got to go to the beach, but that's an hour away, depending on where you're staying.
Oh, my God. You have to go to California Pizza Kitchen. We call it just Pizza Kitchen here because we're in California.
You mean Sepulcha? Sepulcha?
We call it...
What's wrong with Sandy? He's trying to give you recommendations, man. Quit being a dick. All right, so don't listen. So don't listen to "Oh My God" followed by insert shitty suggestion. But what do you listen to?
When somebody's new or from out of town, and someone makes like a legitimate restaurant recommendation, is like you need to. What kind of food do you like? Italian? You should go to this place. This is an interesting spot.
There's a great place. They serve family ravioli. Have you heard of Bocca di Beppo? And by the way, I said that in a very cartoony voice, but real quick shout out to Bocca di Beppo. You guys do a great job.
No, it's fun.
And I last time I had your family style lasagna.
This podcast is brought to you by the Olive Garden.
Can I be honest? Well, you know what? Let's be honest. If you were to put Bocca di Beppo and Olive Garden up against, like, in some sort of like MTV celebrity death match, who would win? Like a chef from either. There's a show. You take the chef from Olive Garden.
Chain restaurant celebrity death match?
Oh my God. Get a Kickstarter going ASAP. Do you have a favorite chain restaurant, Mark?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Answer that. But what I thought, but instead of answering that, I'm going to go on. what I thought you were going to say is, put Olive Garden and Buca di Beppo up against like really, really good chefs.
You see what happened when you said Buca di Beppo? It's almost like a fucking sin to say both in the same sentence.
This is how I grew up hearing the word.
Buca di Beppo.
From who?
People in the Midwest. That's how they say it.
Buca di Beppo.
So funny.
Sorry. What's your favorite chain?
No, no. What were you going to say? I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, I wonder if people can tell the difference between like a really high quality, 5-star Michelin Italian food restaurant, like regular people with unsophisticated palates.
Hasn't the Olive Garden done those commercials where they package, like, we packaged our shitty fucking spaghetti marinara in a box and labeled it, you know, Morton Steakhouse. And people were like, I didn't even know they served spaghetti. And we go, me neither. But they tasted it and couldn't tell the difference. You know, like Pizza Hut does that, I think. Yeah. Remember, they're like,
yeah,
we took Pizza Hut pizza and put it in a fucking fancy-ass box, and these fucking...
idiots.
Dirty fucking...
these ingrates.
These ingrates, they couldn't tell the difference. Joke's on you, bitch. Pizza Hut. Nobody knows. Or what, you know. But what
pizza
I'm saying is...
my favorite Italian restaurant. How dare you?
Pizza Hut is great. Do you remember Pizza Hut at some point?
Yeah, I remember Pizza Hut.
They had a promotional giveaway where they had the basketballs, and they gave away mini basketballs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was and the commercial was a kid palming the ball, shoving it towards the camera, and do you remember what he said? For another free sandwich.
I'm going to guess he said Pizza Hut.
Dax, you might... he just held a ball towards the camera and goes, Pizza Hut!
I think
just
he said...
Dax, pull that commercial up for me.
Stuff this... like the crust on our pizza.
Well, that pizza, okay. Where were you 20? Where were you 25 years ago, Sandy? Because that's a brilliant campaign / slogan / marketing tactic.
In the meantime,
what are my keywords here?
Type in Pizza Hut, Fat Boy, basketball, camera shove.
What is your favorite chain restaurant?
My favorite chain.
I'm doing that because you're the boss.
I feel thank bad you for saying it because I just
Dan's
saw
is the boss.
I love Outback Steakhouse.
What did you get?
I actually do too. It's pretty good.
Not that,
but I have to make fun of it.
You want to know something funny about Outback Steakhouse?
Hold on a second.
There's a dessert
you
there.
You guys are actually talking about tasty fucking midnight snacks from Outback. Dax goes, I didn't get that when I typed in Fat Boy Camera Shelf. With good.
Not that.
What'd you get?
There is a picture of about a 500-pound woman in a bra on a bed, mostly naked, with the arms up behind the head.
All right, well, click on that. Don't be an asshole, dude. What are you? What's with the extra sentences, man? It's, just fucking get to clicking.
It's actually for the trailer for the Roseanne Barr Show season 4.
Yikes! Shots fired. Roseanne, still come on the podcast, please.
It starts with an ad, so it must be doing well.
Wait,
it's been monetized.
Because listening to a large woman. What is she doing with her hands behind her back?
Doing the, you know, elbows up, you know, ooh, look at me.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
Can I get an audio clip of Dax saying, ooh, look at me from my phone? All right, here we go.
Oh, yeah. This is
watching what she eats.
She's eating like, they're bringing her pizza
so are her fans
in bed.
Snack just for you.
By the way, this is how 15-year-olds jerk off. One guy watches, the rest commentate from the other bedroom.
What are you seeing, Scott?
She's feeding her pizza. She's dancing with her arms up like, ooh, yeah, you like it.
Let me put my ear to the door, Hayden.
Hayden, wait.
Quit hating, Hayden.
In one sitting.
And she's got an unlikely ally when it comes to making it big. Her mum.
My favorite one's this one. Her stance. It's like.
What is her mom feeding her?
I'm big, I'm beautiful.
Three pizzas.
Three pizzas?
The butt and the belly.
Brings everyone. And they do like photo shoots.
I smile when I see the photographs.
Of like sexy underwear.
I think she's beautiful. And
how big are these women?
She does a great job.
One woman. Giant.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, can I be honest? Whoever did the music did a phenomenal job.
Killing.
All right. If you can find that actual pizza commercial, that'd be great.
Right, yeah.
Mark, you saw the show tonight.
Yes.
Sandy, you went up, yeah?
Yep.
Hell yeah. Did you have a good time?
Unexpectedly.
Right.
I got brought up after I was told I was going to be one. It was going to be one more than me, so I wasn't expecting to
go. And?
It was okay. It was good.
No, it was pretty good. It was better than okay. It was good.
Thank you.
We have an unbiased...
Yeah,
Sandy, I'm biased. I'm a fan. I'm sorry, man.
Thank you. Yeah. It was fine. I mean,
did you work out some new material?
Cold. The audience was. Yeah. I worked out some new material, but I'm trying to get a tape, so I did mostly new stuff, mostly I'd say it was half and half. New stuff that I know works, and then some old stuff.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, the Comedy Juice show tonight, which was me, you, Jay Larson, Danko,
Jay Larson Alonzo left. Bort.
He didn't go
he
up.
He was supposed to go up before me, and the host brought me up, even though he was supposed to bring Jay up, and Jay was pissed, and he left.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Mark, your first time seeing Sandy and I?
First time seeing you live, not my first time seeing Sandy.
Okay. Well, let's come back to Sandy and talk about me for a minute.
Okay.
What did you like? What did you not like? And just focus on that first part. Save the second part for an email or a Facebook message angry at 2 a.m. tonight.
I like your voices. I think your voices are a strong suit.
Yeah.
I think that's the best part is when you can kind of go into a character for a second, especially even describing something as simple as traffic.
Yeah.
Using that voice made me think, okay, yeah, all right. Because like Assholes on the Road, that's like people have talked about that before. But then
for sure.
For me to say, I just think it's funny. For me, it's funny. I like funny noises.
Yeah.
So
that's what I was asking. What do you respond to?
I respond to that.
Because comedy is subjective. Everybody has different tastes.
Yeah. I like that.
For sure. Now, you haven't done stand-up.
No.
What has...
But you're a super funny guy, by the way.
Yeah. And that's what I'm getting to. So what is keeping you from getting on stage?
I don't think I'd make that much money doing it. I think it's money. I'd have to say that.
Was there ever a part of
I'm super poor.
I think I'm poor.
Well, you, Sandy, by the way, Sandy Danto says that while wearing a wolf sweatshirt. And
it's a sweatshirt with a wolf on it that says Alaska that I got at a Goodwill in Jacksonville, Florida.
And guess what? If the day you stop wearing those and stop wearing like really nice like suits is the day we stop being friends, man.
Well, guess what, Adam?
Sandy,
You rip open the wolf shirt and there's a suit underneath.
I just wish this was a tearaway wolf shirt and I had a tuxedo on underneath.
Tearaway wolf shirt?
This is it.
Sandy, if you could be any animal, what would you be?
Don't say wolf.
I would probably be a condor.
Great fucking answer.
Because I could fly, first of all, and I'm a predator.
Are
but
you
I'm also graceful
in the bedroom or over the airways?
Oh, I'm a predator in schools. What's like your Brett was talking about.
What's
I'm
your best sexual position? Because earlier tonight,
second
at dinner,
posture of the flying lotus.
I was going to say earlier tonight you referenced second denomination of the flying pterodactyl pussy, and I said, "What does that mean?" And you said, "What is it called again?" Second
posture of the flying lotus.
For sure. So, and you saw that in a book or online or a friend showed it to you?
I'm working on this new character because comedy is going in this direction of diversity, and I'm not very diverse.
I would be quick to argue that.
Well, I'm a white guy. And on paper, I'm a white guy.
With that attitude,
on a white piece
are.
Of paper, if you draw a stick figure, I'm a white guy.
But deep down,
I'm Raj Kama Sutra, this character I'm working on.
Can you give us a little taste?
And trying to change my name to.
If you don't know this about Sandy Danto, and you do because he's a three-time guest of the About Last Night podcast, you have shared quite a few. You are one of the quickest impressionists, not only great impressionists,
Thank
but
you.
Your ability to meet somebody, observe their behaviors, and the, something
Be
that
careful,
that makes them kind of... He might have a Mark Gordon within moments of finishing this podcast.
I would love to hear that.
I don't know if I will, but we'll see.
But Sandy, who is Raj Kama Sutra?
Oh, no, I haven't really come up with the character yet.
Okay,
it's just
enough.
An idea so far.
Okay.
Just something that I said on the spot
Who would you say is your best character impression? The first one that I met, because first Spencer Sherman, who's also in the room, by the way, which we should give it up real quick for Spencer Sherman, a friend of all of ours. And if I can be honest, maybe, and I will go on record saying this, my best friend, I don't have a friend who isn't in comedy who supports harder.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Spencer has seen me when I came to... Spencer's in the music business.
He said, I'm not a friend, I'm a fan.
Well, I'll take that. But he says that, and he hasn't liked my Facebook fan page. So eat a dick, Spence. But Spence saw me when I was like just started and had to bring people to the Comedy Store, and that's when I met you, Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And how
he took me. He's like, I have this really funny friend that I went to college with, and I was just starting out. I'd maybe done like 5 open mics.
Right.
How long ago was this?
This was in 2006.
Okay.
Or 7, maybe.
7. That's when I started.
Wow. And he took me to the Comedy Store.
He goes, I got this buddy.
And I had just started working there.
He plays funky songs in our fraternity at the Jewish frat.
Mm-hmm.
He hits the 5-foot bong. He dressed up as Batman for fraternity.
He does this bit where he hits a 5-foot bong and then he passes out. Wait, it's hilarious. Wait, wait,
he does this bit where he dresses up as Batman for a saving lives themed fraternity sorority exchange and then gets so fucked up that he passes out and has to be carried down the fraternity row at USC in a Batman costume, and everybody gives him a standing O because it's Batman being carried down the row, fucked up and passed out. I woke up, by the way, with 3 tacos around my dick. So
was like a hard shell around your like.
Oh, dude, I'd eaten tacos. I woke up. That was the only time I've ever blacked out, by the way. Ever.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Dude. I feel like
I used to think that the entire point of drinking was to black out.
What a bummer. Who taught you? Gary Busey? We'll be right back. No, who.
Nobody taught me. I just thought that's what you're, like, the goal of drinking. You haven't won drinking unless you black out.
This is becoming a very tangential episode, but I want to know from both you guys, Mark and Sandy, mm-hmm. when you, and then we'll come back to how great Spencer is.
This is like the Stairway to Heaven of podcasts.
This is great.
Started off this. One way, went this another is, direction.
Well, here's the thing, man. We Brad Williams, rest in peace, him being here tonight.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're hoping he's resting in his bed tonight.
Oh, he's in Denver. He's crushing it. But we the show must go on.
Yeah,
and you guys were great to come on. And hopefully next time we do this, Spencer will join us with his presence. But can I be honest? Having a little bit having Spencer and Dax share their chuckles on the outside helps for us to keep this going. But what I will say,
we're in really great company. By the way,
what I will say though is that when we met Sandy. And then I want to come back to your guys's who influenced you with booze and drugs. When we first met, your go-to impression was the guy you were going on the road with, which was Pauly Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done it on the podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know.
I came on the podcast as him.
Sean Astin, Rudy, Lord of the Rings, Goonies, heard of him? Google him. Famous, the man, sweet dude, was on the podcast. Okay. And again, Brad was gone. Coincidence. And Sandy, I go, hey, could you fill in and guest host with me? Sure. Sandy does an amazing Pauly Shore impression because he toured with him. He's buds with him. Pauly's also been a guest of the podcast. A great dude. You spend enough time with somebody, you're going to learn about them and figure out what makes them tick. But also, you are just amazing at picking up all that stuff. So Sandy comes on the podcast as Pauly and berates Sean Astin about why he didn't put him in.
Why didn't you put me in Lord of the Rings? Dude, what the fuck? I would have made a good Ewok or whatever the fuck you nerds do.
Oh, my
do.
God. That's so good.
And Sean, dude, just played along and was like, look, man, we didn't have enough parts. There was a...
Dude, there were 700 fucking thousand extras. I couldn't have been one of them.
I guess you could have been.
I just wanted to go to New Zealand for 3 years. What the fuck? I might as well have been.
I guess we could have made you an elf. What would your name be?
The Weasel.
Okay, well, that's not an elf name, dude. That's just one of your old characters.
No, it'd be like a different. It'd be a different spin on it.
Well, how do you mean?
It's like I'm a elf, but I'm a weasel.
Okay, you're just saying no, dude, that's not. And the elves can't be that chill, you know?
I'm a hobbit now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. I was supposed to be the star of Star Wars, but I turned it down.
No shit, I think I read about that on thatdoesn'tmakeanysense.com.
Dude, you read about it on Flatline Hollywood Daily.
Is that a real website?
No.
How often do you guys go on the internet and check Hollywood news? Be honest with me. Give me your top 3 right now searches. When you wake up in the morning, what do you check?
I don't know why. I still have CNN as my homepage, and it always pisses me off every single thing.
Well, you know why, man? Because CNN, it's turning into a Facebook news feed because...
Yeah.
Facebook is almost where, like, first of all, kids, they don't go to CNN.com. They get all their news. If you were to ask any kid, like, did you hear, like, Bernie's starting to top Hillary in the presidential race. They go, yeah, but did you hear Kelly's relationship status change from it's complicated to whatever? And you're like, that's what you fucking care about.
Yeah.
Point being, everything gets posted on Facebook. You should have an audition system for it. I'm sure we all have friends that when they post stuff on Facebook, you don't click on the link right away, right? Mm-hmm. You have a friend for crazy animal attack videos, right? Brian posts some fucking old woman got chased by a tiger in Africa on a safari. Yeah. You go, well, Brian's usually fucking spot on with these videos. They're always hilarious. The woman never gets eaten alive, but there's always enough danger involved for me to go, oh shit, glad that wasn't me. I'm going to click on that. But then there's some people that post videos and you're like, dude, I saw you puke in your car while you were driving it 6 weeks ago. Chances are you're not up to date with current events. My point is, what do you guys check most when you wake up? You said CNN.com.
No, I was being dishonest. I probably open up Bumble.
Nice.
That's my first news app, is I want to see nice. If I match with anyone on Bumble.
Dude, and that's what I'm talking honest. About, Mark. That's, yeah, that's the honesty I the want real, right now.
If you look at my phone, 60,
it's fucking 11:57, and I always told myself, if Mark's honest before midnight,
I can promise you at 6:54 a.m. tomorrow, I will open up Bumble.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
And check the messages, check mm-hmm. we just check the pictures. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great, though? That's where we're, like, what was it 20 years ago? What were people checking early in the morning?
They were reading the newspaper.
Hard copy.
Or they were turning they on the local it. News.
No, but they weren't even doing that. They were stretching. They were like looking up at the fucking, looking outside and going, another beautiful day. Like they were.
When
you know,
I wake up, I don't get out of bed for like 45 minutes because I'm checking shit on my phone.
What are you checking, Sandy?
First, I go to my Fitbit app to see how good a night's sleep I got. I'm
what
checking the Sandy
fuck
Danto
did
news
you
feed.
Just say?
And how are we doing right now?
Well, today I did extraordinarily well. I got 9 hours and 46 minutes of sleep.
Lovely.
Yes. Wait a minute. Is that, what is that? Because
see this stupid bracelet I'm wearing?
Well, first of all, it's not stupid. It's just a poor choice of color.
It tracks.
But black bracelets do matter. So.
Oh my God.
Do any lives matter? Anyway.
All right. So
it tracks how many steps you take throughout the day. So wait, far today, we're 1 minute away from.
Wait, this
from
isn't.
The end
but
of the
this
day.
Isn't sleeping. This isn't sleepwalking. This
right.
is
no, this
during
tracks,
the day
tracks,
steps.
All right, Sandy's
I'm
running
tell
in
you
place.
All the things that it tracks. He's the steps you've taken.
He's running in
the
place,
day.
A la the Nintendo trackpad. By the way, the jump was the best part of that. Because people would jump and the character in the game would always move 60 seconds behind your actual jump. So you jumped and then you just have to stand there and wait for your
yeah,
character.
Yeah, you had to figure out the delayed timing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've taken 14,793 steps today.
Good God.
Nice.
6.37 miles.
If what? I was a softball coach, I'd buy you an ice cream cone.
Thanks.
I feel like that's a successful amount of steps.
Here, kid, have $100,000.
How many miles? Can you read the miles again, Sandy?
We'll come back to that.
6.37. So almost 6.5.
Nice.
Was I played basketball today.
But hell that's yeah. still a basketball court's not very long. That's not going to get you 6.8 miles. Like, no. I think.
But you know, like you're
he has a point.
Just like walking throughout the day, like you go to work.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does the app help you be more mindful about
yes,
taking more
absolutely.
Steps? That's important.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've burned 3,300 calories. I burned 3,083 calories and I had 94 active minutes. Which I slept
you're looking
9
on your,
hours and 46 minutes.
Now you're looking on your phone. So how do you go back and forth
so
from bracelet to phone?
This thing. You download an app and it transmits to your phone.
That's insane. Yeah.
Can you take that in the shower?
All no. right, easy, pervert. No. Now, hold on a second. Can you?
No, now? But I don't understand. Okay. Tangentially.
Yeah.
I found out that Fitbits are just, or not Fitbits, fleshlights are just, just like.
That, by the way, that Freudian slip has never happened.
No, fleshlights.
Look, I'm tracking my steps throughout the day with a bracelet. I'm also fucking a fleshlight with my dick. You get how I mix those two up.
No, I think there should be a fleshlight that counts how many strokes you do.
Okay.
So you can learn to not come so quickly.
Now, I want to tell you both that I have a fleshlight and I have not used it. And I want to hear from everyone in the room because I'm just assuming you all have used it.
I wish.
You haven't.
I have a knockoff one that I won at a show. What is it?
I have an egg. It's called the Tinga egg that is like the same thing, but I haven't used it.
Wait, wait, Dex, you won one at a show.
I won one at a comedy show, like in a raffle, and it's a knockoff Chinese, like cheap, flimsy version. And I ended up using it as a flower vase.
That's a brilliant use for it.
It has a flat bottom that's fairly wide. It sits up. And
so does my wife. I just put
Ayo. Flat bottom girls. No, yeah, I just put a single rose in the middle of it in the middle of the
so
dining room table.
Sad, but beautiful. That was probably the intended usage. The guy making
What's
this
more sad.
Like, someday, somebody's gonna fuck this, or put a rose in it.
Decor.
So funny. Now, has anyone
poor
come?
Poor decor.
Has anybody come in and seen it on you? Where did you put the fleshlight rose holder?
Oh, it's just right on the dining room table.
Yeah,
right
of course. Yeah. Right in the.
Absolutely.
Now, how many people have come in and been like, Dex, beautiful, beautiful vase.
Yo, nobody. Everyone's like, is that a pussy? That's exactly what.
If you had played the Family Ties theme song after you said that, that would have been brilliant. Sha-na-na. Dude, that's incredible. All right. Yeah, well,
that was the button on the season finale of season 5.
Is that a pussy?
Oh my God. Oh my God, dude. The best. By the way, oh God, I wish I could have been there. There's so many fly on the wall moments in life you wish you could be there for, and that's one of them for me.
And how I discovered, I wanted a show, and then I threw it in my backpack, and then I got on a plane to Cincinnati to do Go Bananas. And then I got to the condo, and I was going through my backpack like, oh, I brought a fake pussy.
Just
in my backpack,
accidentally. You know what, dude? But that's how fucking great this country is. You can accidentally bring a fake pussy on an airplane and not get stopped.
No, nobody cared.
Yeah, they probably hassled an 86-year-old woman behind you who happened to stand next to a kid who had been smoking pot in the Uber with her, and they were like, what do you got, bitch? And she was like, what?
Yeah, they probably
stand
checked
her
pussy.
Good night, everybody. I wish we could end on that. Maybe we should have.
We're at 1 hour and 1 minute.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up. This has been the best. I feel like there's so much more to cover.
God.
Yeah.
We'll do about 5. Spence, how are you?
Good.
I got to be up in 6 hours. But
when is this going to air?
A couple weeks.
On CBS, ABC?
How dare you? How dare you just throw in my face that this podcast doesn't air on a network?
It should.
It's called the Sideshow Network.
There we go.
Okay.
So
that's, I'll be honest with you, I listen to the Sideshow Network more than I listen to ABC or CBS.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What's ABC?
What's ABC?
Exactly.
Yeah. Jamie Flam, booker, runner, president of the
artist.
Hollywood Improv, artist, the Van Jam Show, Van Flam, Van Jam, the Jean Claude
Van Jam.
Also a great
guy to eat flan with.
No shit. Great beard, good bone structure. See ya, Jamie.
So wait, when is this going to air and how long?
Can you fucking just take it down a notch, Sandy? All right?
I don't take it down a notch.
You come in here with your wolf sweat.
I go 0 to 100 real quick.
All right, if you're going to do Farley, back off that mic. Sorry, can you please do more Farley, though? All right, let me ask you now. Hold on.
Welcome to the Chris Farley Podcast. I'm Chris Farley. Adam Ray, is it? Are you any relation to Sugar Ray? I'm retarded.
Can I be honest? Farley was it for me.
Yeah,
you know,
my
Farley,
all-time favorite.
Robin Williams, Jim Carrey.
No,
and
ever.
Just to hear you do that right now is the closest I'll ever get to hear it. Chase, my man. My man, rocking the vest tonight.
He's got a Fitbit.
You got a Fitbit?
He challenged me on it.
You can challenge other people. That's what I wanted to finish up on. All right, so the amount of sleep. You tracked 9 hours and 46 minutes.
Last night was extraordinary as far as sleep goes.
I want
to
know. And
I got to bed before midnight, which is very rare for me.
I can safely attest that we are all night owls, yeah?
Yeah.
Tonight.
Fair enough.
I mean, unfortunately, I'm probably not going to go to bed before 2, which is kind of a bummer because I'll have to get up 4 hours later.
But 2 for us is early.
For sure.
Yeah.
At what point did your sleeping habits change? Because when I was in, I'd say 6th grade, that's the last time I got more than 8 hours of sleep a night. And even then, I was all night popping pills and Hey, dude, let me finish. Flintstone Vitamins. Shout out to the gummy section, aisle 9, Albertsons, Lake Forest Park, Washington. Stole deodorant from you guys when I worked there.
Statute of limitations are up. You can't get convicted anymore.
But what I want to know is what changed from, let's say, Mark and Sandy's normal sleep schedule, you know, waking up refreshed, not needing Red Bull or coffee, to when you go, man, I'm waking up, I'm checking Bumble, Mark, but not without a coffee in hand.
I thought you were going to say, but not without a condom.
He wakes Sandy, up, grabs a condom, then checks Bumble.
What is so funny about being safe when I Bumble?
Nothing. It was the misdirection of, it. I thought he was going to say condom, but he said coffee. It's like, you need coffee the fuck?
So Some people do. I'll tell you who does. Danny DeVito, George Clooney, and Danny Glover. Marry, fuck, kill. Go, Mark.
I would never kill myself.
Is that DeVito?
Yeah, it's all right. It's not my best one, but yeah.
Okay, I'll do Danny Glover. Hey, you got an angel with you right now. What movie is that from?
Angels in the Outfield.
Fair enough. And who was on the receiving end of that line? Tony Danza. And he goes, I do. Dax, can you look up who Tony Danza played in Angels in the Outfield?
And you know who Tony and the Danza.
Oh my God. Can we please start an all bass clarinet a cappella group called Tony's and the Danza? And then coincidentally, right after that, can we please write the sequel to Angels in the Outfield called Angela's in the Outfield, where Tony loses his fucking mind and sees Judith Light everywhere.
Mona.
That's the trailer. Yeah. And everyone's like, I thought it was called Angela's in the Outfield. What's with all this Mona talk? All right, so Mark, when did things shift for you from, hey man, I'm getting a good night's sleep, to time to party in Mark's world?
When did things shift? Things shifted in that direction probably when I was like a fucking teenager.
Yeah.
I started like being a night owl. I'd stay up for 24 hours.
Well, LA as a teenager has to be bananas.
It's a fun city as a teenager. I would not want to raise kids here.
Wow.
But will you? Teenager.
Yeah, probably. I don't see myself living in any other city.
Yeah, Give me a quick example before we wrap this up. What, growing up as a teenager in LA, what did you get that we didn't get?
I think that I got a fake ID at a young age. I think it was like something, it wasn't even a rite of passage as much as it was just like, oh, you go and get this. It was like, yeah, everyone gets this. And like,
it's a norm.
Parents knew, like kids knew. And I could like, I remember buying like a shopping cart full of liquor, like at 16 with like a baby face. Like I was a fat little chubby kid.
Yeah.
I looked like a chicken nugget, like, just like this and like,
oh, shit.
Could not grow facial hair, like just like a virgin, and like you would just look at me and say, yeah, nobody would have sex with this kid, and he has a shopping cart full of liquor and going to like a Rite Aid pharmacy and being like, $127 worth of liquor, please. And the guy going, can I see your ID? And me just,
no problem, sir, cashier, just, man. Yeah, you're overcompensating.
I used to have to trade this crackhead my friend's little sister's Ritalin, so he would go buy us liquor.
Ooh.
That required thought and a process, and that's good. It should be that hard for a 16-year-old, because I was driving.
Whoa. It was, oh, God.
Like, and thank God I wasn't driving drunk, because it was like taking liquor to like, what's more fucked up, taking it to like one of our houses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and just
with that, with parents.
But every group of friends has a parent that's like, we know you're going to be drinking. We don't want you to. We don't condone it. But if you're going to be doing it, we want you to be safe under our roof.
And I'm torn on that approach, because I feel like that is safe, but that's also, you know, you're enabling the kids. You're basically being like, look, I get that you're 12, but tequila is delicious, so do it.
You know what? All I needed from an adult was to say that, and then to be like, but the point of drinking isn't to black out. It's just to get a little bit loose.
Oh, nobody told you that.
Nobody told
you
that.
Who told you to black out?
Nobody told me to black out.
What movie did you see to black out?
I mean, I grew up on Tommy Boy and Animal House.
Oh, my God.
And Billy Madison, all three in which they're Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, and John Belushi are all blackout drunk
in
pretty much the whole movie.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, why didn't you watch Steel Magnolias,
and the then fucking Dazed and
Thomas Crown Affair, and like Air Bud 6? You would have had a different childhood.
I would have been a dog that was an expert basketball.
You would have been a great frisbee / soccer / badminton player.
Or maybe a little Cool Runnings.
take it all the way back to the beginning of the show.
Is there any way you can pull? Nice, dude. Dex, bringing it home. Dex, first time for you being on the pod, and I got to be honest, not the last.
Dex is a super cool dude.
On the mic, but spot on the computer. Dex, if you could bring us home with a tune. I don't want to say dealer's choice because I don't know what kind of sick shit you're into. But if you could actually find that actual Pizza Hut commercial.
I could not locate that. There's so many Pizza Hut commercials.
Maybe
the
it wasn't
say
Pizza
basketball.
Can you type in, hey, punk, won a game, Pizza Hut? And that's the first time, by the way, in 33 years that I've said that to another grown man.
Hey, punk, won a game?
Yeah, that's what I swear to God, that's... I was trying to leave it up for you guys to come up with the answer, but that's what the kid said.
Isn't that what I said?
So he says,
hey, punk, put in your crust.
You said, take a bite of this crust like it's...
No, I said, you're going to get stuffed like this crust here at Pizza Hut.
Which is also a great campaign.
And I thought he said Pizza Hut.
Copyright.
But it turns out he says, hey, punk, want to play Pizza Hut? So I was kind of right. Does he say Pizza Hut at the end of that sentence?
Never even says Pizza Hut.
Oh, okay.
The Pizza Hut
would have been weird, right? Yeah. If he was like,
you want to play Pizza Hut?
He's palming a ball.
It's like playing house, but you're just like pretending you work at Pizza Hut.
Ring, ring, ring.
What kind of sad childhood would that be?
Do you want to play drive-thru? Wait a minute. I think I did. I think there was a fucking toy set that was drive-thru with my... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Do you want to play?
That is a sad childhood.
Like,
yeah.
Phone in the order, and then you take.
You want to play Applebee's? Hi, I'm Tammy. Can I take your order?
But that I could see myself
like
playing as a kid.
Rupees.
I could see myself playing a restaurant game. I did, but like Pizza Hut would be me calling in an order, you taking it, and then 35 minutes later, you like coming back into the story again, right? Yeah. You'd just be like, is Sandy going to remember? Is he that cool of a friend?
Hey, let's play disgruntled Target employee. Why did we want to be kids so or adults so bad as kids? Spence?
I don't know.
Why? He'll be on the podcast soon.
You know Dex, why? I'll tell you why. I know the
can't
scientific
find it?
Answer.
Can't find it. Dude, am I going to have to fucking...
What's the answer?
Because when you're a kid, nobody fucking takes you seriously, and it wears on you, and you get jaded, and your childlike innocence and wholesomeness withers away, and all you want is to be taken seriously. So you play pretend as an adult, and then you try to grow up, and you grow up too fast, and you start drinking only to black out. And then you're just like, where's my childhood, bro? Where's my
experience? I think being a kid's hard. Everybody thinks being a kid, like, oh, I wish I was a kid again. Nah, for me, being a kid, it was shitty.
Yeah.
Like, looking back,
but I wish I could go back to be a kid knowing what I know now.
Shut the fuck up. 1993 Pizza Hut commercial street ball promo. Here it is.
To play this game, you got to have the drive, you got to have the moves, you got to have the love, but most importantly...
Hey man, you got the ball?
No, I ain't got the ball. You got it? Say what?
No, you got to have the ball.
Is that Alfonso Ribeiro?
Hey Chumps,
I had that ball.
Win a game.
Hey Chumps, won a game.
It's a Rawlings, it's only $4.99, and only a
pizza. I had that.
Because nobody plays without the ball.
Yo, it's
because nobody plays without the ball.
There couldn't be a more profound statement from a pizza organization about a professional athletic sport. Now, $4.99, by the way, let's just clarify one thing. That ball was shitty.
$4.99. Yeah, it got lopsided real quick.
Hey, you're buying a basketball from a fucking Pizza Hut. So chances
which is
are
the rubber are, is also part of the pepperoni.
Chances are your pants are also made out of fucking jeans. I mean, all right. You know what? What I meant to say was beans. all right. Look, $4.99 for a basketball is... No, man. But yet people bought them because that commercial,
but
by the way...
$4.99 for a pizza? Say what?
Well, no. What it was like $10.99 for a pizza. And if you buy it now, the basketball is only $4.99 more. And dude, at a regular sporting goods store, a basketball is $15 to $30. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Mark Gordon, thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Do you have a Twitter you like to plug, or a Facebook page, or a Bumble app, or a Bumble profile?
Yo, if anyone at Rye is listening.
Okay.
Sandy Danto at Sandy Danto on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know when this is coming out, but I'm launching this Kickstarter campaign.
Okay,
and I was gonna ask you if I could plug it.
Of course,
but I don't know. Like, should I wait for it to come out? Like, I don't know the timing.
This might be out actually next week. There's a chance it could be.
Because I'm not gonna launch it until like middle.
Well, maybe we'll hold on to it.
Okay. Well, let me come back? I don't need to be a guest or anything.
Where can people?
I mean, I'll be tweeting it out. I'll be Facebooking it out.
Okay, so then follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter.
At Sandy Danto.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for...
Look for my Kickstarter. It's dropping in 2016. I'm going to be taking out a yacht in a real unique way, yo.
Is that what... Can you share any sort of...
Yeah. I'm trying to do a tour and shoot like a concert film where I do a tour... where I charter a yacht across America, but on dry land.
Now, Sandy, that sounds impossible because a yacht goes on water, right? By definition, it's a boat.
I've seen one on land at Burning Man.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of outside the box thinking. This is like Burning Man type thought processes.
I'm listening.
I'm taking a yacht. I'm going to put it on an 18-wheeler tractor trailer, and I'm going to drive it across America. I'm going to do shows on the yacht. Maybe in Walmart parking lots, maybe just, you know, in the middle of nowhere.
This sounds amazing.
And I'd like to drive a jet ski in the pool, because the yacht's going to have a pool, because I'm not a peasant. And wow. I'm going to drive a jet ski in the...
Shots fired at all you peasants without boating access.
Now, Sandy, what do you say to the person who says, Sandy Danto, you can't take a boat on land across the country? Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, what do you say to this super Jewish man?
What do you say to me, Sandy?
I say, have an imagination. Dream a little dream. And donate to my Kickstarter because I will prove you wrong, sir.
Mark Gordon, Sandy Danto, thanks for being here. That's it. I mean, I would love to close it out with something more profound, but Black Box is kind of doing the trick. Dax, thanks for being here. You'll be back.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Spencer Sherman, we teased the balls with some Spencer Sherman vocals in the background.
Baruch atah, I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. That story will be back next time. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.